Anyways, if you're staying closer to home than Brad is, if you're vacationing here, and especially if you're going to be here March break vacationing, you might be interested in a day outdoors at the Toronto Zoo. And who would not be? Joining us now is Katie Gray, Manager of Strategic Communications for the Toronto Zoo. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing great. It's going to be, I think, a really nice day. A little chilly, but nice.
Oh, it's a fantastic day. This would be a great day, in my opinion, to be walking around the Toronto Zoo. It's perfect.
Oh, it would be a perfect day. And you know what? As the weather's starting to finally turn and we're getting some nice days, I think people are really anxious to get outside. I know I am.
Hey, listen, I wrote this down to ask you. Much like human beings, this time of year, you can see that we're ready for spring. It's been a long winter, and we're ready to go, and you get a bit antsy. Do animals do the same thing?
Oh, sure. We do have, for many of our animals, you know, it's amazing. People wouldn't think of it, but a lot of the animals that wouldn't traditionally be considered outdoor winter animals still have access outside in the winter, and, you know, if we have a few nice days, the lions, for example, they love being outside in the winter, and we have some modifications in their exhibits. So there's heating pads in some of their little cave areas, but really it's really good enrichment. So enrichment is what we call different ways to, you know, provide entertainment, but also it's a health and well-being thing for the animals. So snow, some of the animals who might not normally know about it, is an enrichment piece. It's something different. It's something exciting. The rhinos, our staff have built snowmen for the rhinos, so they run out and knock them over and have fun with them. And so, yeah, they do go out in the winter. A lot of the animals that have access, you know, can find days that they can go out. But yes, absolutely. I think that even the animals will be excited to come out and have some nice days to enjoy the fresh air and the sun. I really can't wait for some more sun.
No, I hear you loud and clear on that. Listen, can you sit tight with us for a second, Katie? I got to take a quick break, but I want to talk Toronto Zoo when we come back.
Sure.
Sit tight. We'll be perfect. We'll be back with more Journal after this. Don't you dare go away. Good morning, everybody.
More about a guest you heard on the radio.
Maybe you're out fishing and missed an episode. Want to catch up? Well, now you can. Facebook.com/Fishing Canada to learn more about your favorite outdoor shows, Fishing Canada Television, and Outdoor Journal Radio. Search the archive and download hundreds of radio episodes.
Like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at ODJ Radio.
And, of course, listen live, the Outdoor Journal Radio Show. More than ever, your definitive guide to the great outdoors.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, I'm Angelo Viola, Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, and Andrew Holland at your service this wonderful weekend, a great weekend to be outdoors, a wonderful weekend actually to go to the Toronto Zoo. On the line with us now is Katie Gray, Manager of Strategic Communications for said Toronto Zoo. Katie, March break is moving in pretty quick on us. Is that one of the big highlights for the zoo? Is it one of the busy periods?
Yeah, for sure. March break, like we were saying, it's one of the first opportunities in a lot of cases to really get outside and start enjoying what are the first signs of spring. So we've got a lot going on at the zoo. We've got a March break camp. There's still some spots available. So if there are parents looking for somewhere to put the kids for the whole week, we still do have some spots available for our zoo camp. So that's one option, and that's one way to get a lot of zoo time. But just for people who you might be taking a couple days off here and there, we've got some amazing programming. We've got, it's called Wild Toy Animal Hospital. This is such a neat event. So if you've got kids who have a favorite stuffed animal or a little stuffed toy, we encourage them to bring them by our Wildlife Health Center, which is where we do all of our medical procedures and checkups on the animals. And we have a viewing gallery, a public viewing gallery, where you can actually see the vets working if there's anything going on. And that's open every day, so you can just pop by there anytime. But on a few select days during March break, on the weekends and on the Wednesday, we have this event taking place where people can bring their stuffed animal. And we have some staff and volunteers that'll take a look and do checkups on them, which is kind of cute. So kids get to bring their little favorite stuffy and Yeah, it's a really cute idea. And if you forget your stuffy, you can pop by our gift shop and grab one. But it's, you know, it's really cute. We've had kids come in with, you know, their little favorite stuffy they've had forever and ever. And there's a little rip in its wing. And we've got really fun volunteers that'll, you know, put a little Band-Aid on it and talk them through it and talk about what might be wrong with it. So it's a really cute event. And then on the Monday and the Friday of March break, we've got a kids paint party. So it's sort of like paint night. I don't know if you've ever known anybody who goes and does, like, you have an instructor who shows you kind of a step-by-step of how to paint a painting. So we've got it for kids. So they'll be able to paint an animal. Yeah, that's a really neat, something new that we haven't done that before. So we're really excited about that. And then for the adults during March break, because there's something for everybody. I mean, kids too, but we have a new nighttime experience called Terra Lumina. And it's been on since December. And this is something new for us because we don't typically have nighttime events at the zoo. You know, that's something that we're starting to do more and more. So this is a nighttime experience where you walk through the zoo at night, you walk through a path, and it's telling you a story of hope, but of this is what it could be like if we do it right. So if we actually take care of our planet and the animals and find a balance where we're all living harmoniously, you know, this, it sort of projects you into 2099 where you're surrounded by, you know, animals thriving and our natural world kind of being the best it can be. So it's definitely a story of hope, but it's fun and it's multimedia, it's lights, it's installations, it's interactive, holographic images. It's really neat, something really powerful. So that's on every day during March break in the night times, but you do have to buy tickets for that. So that's on our website. All of this information is on our website, torontozoo.com. If you're ever looking for something to, you know, get a little bit more information about what's going on, torontozoo.com is definitely the best spot to look. And then what else have we got going on? We got Daily Keeper Talk. So if you've got a favorite animal, I really implore you to check out our Daily Keeper Talk schedule, because when you get to talk to the keepers, the people who take care of these animals day in, day out, that's going to be one of the best ways, you know, to get information about these animals and just find out really neat little anecdotes and stories. And that's always very valuable. And those are happening every day.
How do you become a keeper? I was always intrigued by that. Like, how do you, like, what's a qualification for somebody who, you know, takes care of the lions or the bears or the elephants?
So it's funny. There's a couple different, certainly academically speaking, there's different programs. Guelph has an amazing program for animal science, but, and many other institutions as well, U of T. You know, for us, it is a very highly coveted position, and we have, you know, typically when we have new keeper positions, there's a lot of competition for them because, you know, there aren't as a lot of, you know, jobs and careers where you get to work every day with a rhino or a polar bear. So
I know
there are a lot of very passionate people out there, and they often take very different career routes, right? Like, it's not always a one, you know, sometimes you have people who've grown up on and lived their whole lives on a farm and, you know, have learned everything they need to know about animal husbandry and taking care of animals from that. But a big way is people often just want to get a foot in the door. So you'll see we'll have a ton of seasonal staff starting in the next couple months. We'll have people coming in, you know, running the rides or in the admission booths or in the stores or, you know, picking up the garbage. And that's, in a lot of cases, that's some people's sort of entry job into just trying to get a foot in the door at the zoo, because sometimes it's, you know, so competitive that you just want to get, you know, get known and get some experience at the zoo to give you kind of a leg up.
No kidding. Just out of curiosity, now I'm thinking about this as you're talking about the various jobs and handlers and stuff. How many animals at the Toronto Zoo? Any idea?
Oh, yeah. We have, I mean, it fluctuates a little bit because we have animals, you know, we work very closely with other organizations and there's, you know, animals that move around and such. But, you know, almost 5,000, just shy of 5,000 animals.
Holy. Wow. That's massive.
Yep. Something for everyone.
just the menu, just the food.
Yeah.
Just that would blow a person's mind. That's incredible. Hey, so, it's all happening at the Toronto Zoo.
Yeah, and I just want to say, when you talk about the menu, we have a wildlife nutrition team that is, well, really unique in a lot of ways. It's the only kind, one of its kind in Canada. We have an in-house research component. So not only is it just the feeding, it's learning about these animals because there's so little known about some of these, you know, exotic and lesser known animals. So it's there's a lot of science that goes into everything we do, and I really encourage you to come out and talk to people in our Wildlife Health Center through the Keeper Talks, and they can tell you all about that sort of conservation research science side of things, because it's fascinating, and people don't know. They really have no idea.
It sounds like there's a lot going on down. That Terra Illumina, I've got to look into. I'm into that.
Yeah, please
night
do.
Stuff.
Please
some
do.
Videos.
Yeah. It's only on until April 13th, so we're down onto the last stretch of it, but it'll be back next year as well. We have it for 3 years, so we've got a couple years, but it is outstanding.
Got to check it out. All this information is available for you at thetorontozoo.com. That's torontozoo.com. Katie, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, guys, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. Love chatting with you. Thanks so much for chatting with us today, and hope to see you at the zoo.
We sure will. Katie Gray, Manager of Strategic Communications, the Toronto Zoo. She could speak nonstop about the zoo. You can tell that when somebody is passionate about what they do, there's so much emotion in every word that comes out of their mouth. She's one of those people. It's fantastic. What, you wanted to say something?
No, it's very cool. Well, because I saw some video about the Luminous show.
Ah.
Very cool. I'm actually considering going and checking it out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How long? I forgot to ask her. How long is the...
I don't know. I just saw the video. Like, one of my friends posted it up, and just the lights and the nerdiness for me is like, ooh, fancy.
Anything shiny, huh?
Yeah.